Welcome to Hashtag Finance Master, a weekly show where Anders Leo Lindberg discusses the latest trends in finance and accounting with a global audience via LinkedIn audio. Recorded live, anyone can tune in and take part. Just raise your hand and share the stage. Will you join Anders next time? For now, kick back, relax, and enjoy this week's show.
Welcome everyone to a special episode of the Hashtag Finance Master podcast. Today with us, we have Nikita Podkultin, who's a finance director at L'Oreal, and very excited to hear about his views on the ever-evolving finance function and especially the role of the CFO. My name is Anders Leo Lindberg, and as usual, I will be your host. Nikita, welcome to the show. Why don't you give a brief introduction of yourself for the listeners?
Yeah, hello, Anders. First, it's a great pleasure for me to be here with you today. I'm really interested a lot in the topic and what you are doing. Well, and then a few lines about me. I'm already 15 years in finance. I've started my career first a bit in the banking, but then I moved to EY to do a bit of audit. And the last 12 years, I've been working with L'Oreal. I first started in various controlling jobs, being close to sales, being close to marketing. Then I took the position of the divisional CFO in one of the big countries of the group. I managed few transformation projects there. We were managing the subsidiaries, entering new markets, opening new business models. And then in 2020, I moved to the headquarters in Paris. First as the divisional CFO for Eastern Europe region. And since the last 6 months, I'm in charge of e-commerce business finance at the global level. Quite exciting challenge ahead, and actually, it's the first role of that type in the group to centralize e-commerce finance governance.
Thanks a lot for giving that brief intro, Nikita. And I can certainly appreciate having a long and diversified career in a big international company, and also moving from one country to the other and trying to sort of find yourself again, especially moving from a country to a headquarter. There's always so many different things happening, and you sort of start to see things from different perspectives as well. And, you know, given your long career in L'Oreal, but also, I guess, what you've seen otherwise in other companies, how would you sort of describe your experience with change in the finance function in the past decade?
From my experience, added with the experience of the network I have among other finance professionals. Well, I would say it is, and it was, a very interesting journey. Right, it has started, I remember back many years ago, where our key role was to do data crunching as the first must-have, working with big Excel databases, analyzing the thing, posting the journal entries and stuff like that. But then, with the development of ERP systems, with the development of budgeting system, when the new tools were brought in our daily life, the focus of the job has been more and more moving towards business partnering, right? So we're really shifting from low value added tasks to high value added tasks, and most of the times, and it's also in a way linked to the way you grow in the career. You know, finance is a bit the octopus, so you know everything about everyone or everything about every function in the organization. So this is the moment where you move, and where we as finance will lead the business transformation, obviously beyond finance functions, working in a way as a business advisors as well. So I would say this is the key and the major transformation from technical data crunching to business value-added insights and transformation objective. What?
Thanks for sharing that, Nikita. And I can certainly, I mean, I fully buy into the journey, and it's also mostly what I've seen. But we also still hear a lot of people struggle to sort of live in that change. And you see many companies that, you know, essentially, if I look at a finance transformation plan today, usually it lasts 3 to 5 years, it looks pretty similar compared to what it looked 5 years ago or 10 years ago. At least a lot of the words and activities would be around the same. So what would you say are some of the key drivers in actually successfully making this change happen?
Well, to me, we're finance and we're still tool-based. So for me, the important thing is about the tools. The tools we have and the way they do develop. It's true, you know, that we might be, in a way, a bit outpaced, right? Because the technology is changing so fast. But, and every day you can get some new releases and you say, but to deploy the new tool or the new instrument, financial one, in the organization takes time. And it takes a lot of time because in most of the cases, you also need to adapt the business processes behind across all the functions with many stakeholders. So to me, the key element is the tool. And when we choose the tool, it should be the tool that can be flexible, agile, and designed to change fast and quickly in the time. It shouldn't be something that would put us on the backyard and will make us stay on the point while the world is moving fast forward. And another one is, of course, about sharing expertise. I mean, the difficulty of finance is that we are quite often in the bubble of the corporation. What I mean by that is that I never like to say like that, but we're in a way back office. We're not that exposed outside of our companies. But to be successful, we need to be exposed. We need to participate in different events. We need to subscribe to kind of the channels like yours in order to follow up very, very precisely and very intelligently what is going on in the market. We need to be and we need to serve the wave of global transformation.
Yeah, so sort of rather than waiting to be changed by someone else, then try to take a proactive approach and really follow what's going on and then be the change is kind of a worn-out expression. But if you don't take charge yourself of your own development and where things are heading, it can certainly be a challenging environment to operate in is sort of what I'm hearing you say as well.
Absolutely, absolutely. We need to be proactive and take the lead and take the charge.
So this series we're running right now is around the role of the CFO and how it has sort of evolved over the years. So if we zoom in on the CFO role, we made the sort of statement that no C-suite role has evolved more than the CFO role in the past decade. Would you agree with this or do you see some other perspectives on this?
I definitely understand the claim, but to give the answer, I would say it depends. I would say it depends. Why? Because I will also relate to what we said before. Sometimes we are following the transformation and we're following the transformation of the whole organization. And sometimes we might be influenced of what is going on in other functions. So we need to adapt. Then to me, the way I see the ideal CFO. Ideal CFO to me is the deputy of CEO. CEO is also the C-suite. So I would say that normally, from my perception, if you take CEO, of course CEO will be transforming faster than the CFO eventually, if we relate to the C-suite positions. But the transformation is immense, and why I would also say yes, answering your question, is that it's exactly the same reason. We need to take everything from the transformation of all the other C executives in order to fuel the functions. Well, if I will relate to the marketing and digital transformation, in terms of digital marketing transformation, of course, this is finance who need to adapt as well to be able to business partner those functions. It would take about the sales transformation, let's say the move from offline to online. Again, finance would be the one to adapt the thing. If we say value chain and logistics, and supply chain transformation, again, this would be finance to digest everything, adapt, and make sure to connect all the dots of the company. So yes, no, it depends, but definitely we're going through the immense transformation of the world. I think it's I'm sure it will be changing onwards, and finance will have to play the key role in it, because we are the one to connect the dots.
So we sort of got a yes, no, and it depends, which I can certainly appreciate, right? Because it's not black and white. And if you ask someone in sales, they will probably say the chief commercial officer has changed the most. And if you ask someone in operations, they'll probably say the CEO, and so on and so forth. I guess from my perspective, it is that every function that is more, let's say, outwards focused, like sales or operations or marketing, they have their more, let's say, specific responsibilities. So if we talk about, for instance, digital transformation or other company-wide projects, the CEO would not look at the CCO or the COO and say, can you lead this initiative? Because they're focused on, you know, being really good at what they do, whereas the CFO can span across the entire company, and it becomes more natural if the CFO has that, you know, deputy to the CEO relationship, that the CEO would say, hey, CFO, can you lead this on behalf of us across the company, so we ensure that we do things in an aligned way, but we also have time, focus, and energy left in the different functions to actually do well what they're supposed to do. So I guess that's sort of where I see that the CFO at least has a great opportunity to take charge of all of these new things that come in, rather than letting each function do it the way they want it to, which is rarely a good recipe for success, let's say.
Absolutely. And therefore, you need to transform a small piece of yourself as the CFO with connection to each and every function.
Absolutely. And staying on that, you know, transformation of yourself or transformation of the CFO role, what are some of the main developments that you have seen in the CFO role in the past years?
So, well, I would perfectly relate to what you have raised on the subject. I would first say it's about decision making, right? So, thanks to the tools, ERPs, automatization, digitalization, we are more and more involved and are able to put ourselves into the decision-making process to bring quite valuable insights on time, knowing that, as we said, we had expertise across all the functions. Another one, and yeah, one is coming out from the other, basically. It's these are about the tools, right? We've automatized, we've digitalized. Another trend which we see and which has been evolving over the last decade is about consolidation of repetitive tasks, right? More and more we have shared service centers that are being created in order to serve the operational tasks and in order to free up time for more value-added tasks. The global trends which I would put into as the shift of sales from offline to online, from B2B to B2C, it makes us build new capabilities, to build new knowledge, to investigate new opportunities, and to redesign the business models, which is changing so much. And obviously, all the recent trends among sustainability, social responsibility, the influence of ESGs, and in the way how we as a finance can embrace those important subjects, right? How can we measure the environmental impacts of our companies? How we can optimize on that? How we can report on that? So it's the brand new approach in supporting the business. And again, it's more and more from operations and backwards looking, shifting to towards looking and seizing the future. And last but not least, of course, we should mention AI, which to me would be a big disruptor for the finance professionals. And I can elaborate on it if you want.
Yeah, I mean, I think the whole AI bit is probably a topic for another conversation, because it's so big and it's evolving so fast. I mean, you know, a year ago, no one had heard about ChatGPT, just to give a basic example, right? And now everyone is talking about it, using it, trying to figure out, how is this going to change the world of work? Does it mean I don't need to do work anymore? I mean, I had a live show just the other day where one of the participants, he came on stage and said he was genuinely concerned about what's going to happen. Is it, you know, going to take over everything? So I think there's a lot of there's so much change in that field that I could say something today and then next week it would be outdated, right? So it's
absolutely
it's really a very interesting field to be part of. And I think my answer to this guy that came on stage was really just to be curious, be interested, be involved, rather than fear and worry what's going to happen. Because if you are involved, then at least you are part of making that change happen, rather than letting that change happen to you.
Absolutely. So definitely. Absolutely. I fully agree. You need to be, you need, again, as with the tools, you need to surf the wave and you need to be there with a pinch of emotional intelligence that we need to keep when we're dealing with artificial intelligence as well.
Yeah, exactly. So we've sort of identified the five main areas that really see the CFO role having developed quite a lot in the past 10 years. So strategic decision-making, driving transformation, not just in finance, but also across the company, adopting new technologies, again, also across the company, but certainly also in finance, ESG, you just mentioned it yourself, Nikita, and then the last bit is around people and culture, again, not just for finance, but also across the company. How are you sort of seeing the CFO role delivering on these areas today, if you could sort of take us through that?
Maybe I would start with your last point on people and the culture across organization and within organization. In this rapidly changing world with the AI, with new technologies, with new trends, with the ESGs, I think the key role for the CFO is to bring in and to build the shared vision of his people, to make sure that everyone goes into the right direction, that the information is openly shared, and the strategy is clear. We need to build, to engage, and to motivate our communities, and to drive basically the transformation of their mindset, right, from more low added value task, from crunching the data to bringing business insights. I think this is the whole idea and the whole, let's say, mainstream objective that we should bring to finance populations, to finance people. Then on the ESG part, I've also mentioned that we know that's it's not the new trend about being green and moving on. We know that. And actually, it's interesting because we have a very interesting discussion on that in my business school where I go now. There are still lots of perceptions about greenwashing, about if the companies, they really going green or they do it because of ESGs. So this is another role, together with the sustainability officers of the companies, CFOs, should make sure that everyone is into it. Obviously, with the Gen Zs entering into the job market and starting to work, they naturally bring this inspiration of taking care of our environment and of the world. But this should be the key focus, because we know more and more it becomes super important for the financial markets. We know some cases when the whole board of directors were fired because of greenwashing, right? On the digital part and the digitalization and the tools, I would say that the job has been overall well designed, with backwards analysis and with the transactional reporting, right, and with the ERPs. The next step and the next step is the forward looking and the predictive analysis. Of course, for all the companies, they're involved into budgeting, forecasting processes. They have the tools. Now the question is, and I'm sorry to put it back on the table, is about how we can elaborate on AI to do predictive things. Actually, you know, I've played a bit with it myself, and it does it. It already does it. taking into account the marketing, the market factors, etc. So for now, how we can more focus on the future and optimize the right prediction in our finance job. All of that would be covered with what you said first, but it would be covered by the umbrella of strategic decision making. I think it's our duty, it's our direct responsibilities to make sure that we're a part of this decision making process, and we need to be proactive. You know, in some cases where we still might be shy to stand up and speak out, you know, because there is the CEO, because there are marketing managers, sales managers who are kind of number one to give their opinion on business, but we need to be courageous and make sure to change this trend, right? We need to speak up because we have things to say. We have lots of things to say. And we have expertise across the board, and we do connect the dots.
And I think, you know, just because you put the technology piece also back on the table, I think, you know, 5, maybe 10 years ago, we would ask ourselves sort of, you know, what's the art of the possible, or what's next, what's coming, and sort of trying to figure out what we should do. And I think today the question is different, because more or less, and I'm not saying everything that has been invented, everything that can be invented has been invented, but I'm more saying that anything is possible. It's more about figuring out how can you use it for the benefit in your company. I mean, you mentioned about the predictive analytics, right? So I think probably many of the listeners are familiar with the Microsoft case as well, right? Where they build a machine learning driven forecast for their top line, and it could basically produce it in 2 days with two people maintaining the model, compared to 3 weeks and 800 people being involved before they had this model. So it just tells you something about the massive potential that we see coming in from all these technologies here. So yeah, don't ask what's possible. Just ask how can we get it done in our company. And you also said it yourself, Nikita, right? You just played around with some simple stuff. And I've also heard examples from a Danish pharma company. This is like 5, 7 years ago, where a commercial finance director, he basically just downloaded free software off the internet, and then he built their commercial forecast based on that. And it was also more accurate and faster than what they got when they did it bottom up. So it's all possible. And I think it's really for CFOs to answer that question of how do we then make it happen in our company? Yeah. And move on from those very theoretical and philosophical discussions about what's possible. Because it's all possible. We just need to make it happen.
Absolutely.
So, you know, thinking of these 5 development areas, but also looking forward, what do you see as some of the main development areas for the CFO role moving forward?
I would repeat myself, we need to surf the wave. We need to be sure to stay connected with the markets, with the latest trends in our industries and across the industries. We need to follow on the startups, which are bringing in the new ideas, the new technologies, the new solutions to the problems that we might have. We need to feel competitive to other functions internally in a way we're bringing the insights. And we need to have it as the focus, right? Depending on the size of the company, we need to make sure we allocate the right or enough resources to do what I've just said. Because otherwise, and it's true, we might be stuck in our day-to-day routine in managing business operations on the daily basis, and we may forget to put our heads out and to see what's going on. And this is very important to do that.
Yeah, no doubt about that, Nikita. And I'm sort of, if I should build on your analogy of kind of like surfing the wave, would you see it as possible for CFOs to be the ones that actually create the waves, at least inside the company, to say, hey, you know, I have an external view on what's going on, which means I think for our business model going forward, or for how we run the company, we should do something very different because otherwise we're going to be left behind? Or do you see that as the role of the CEO and perhaps other CXOs?
No. We definitely need to be proactive. We need to be proactive. We need to be able to stand up, say what we think, and to drive the transformation. Because sometimes, you know, the CEO, he has lots of things to do, managing many partners, managing the organization. He needs to be infused by new ideas. And if we relate to what we were saying before, finance are the only ones who connect the dots across the boards. So actually, it's our responsibility to be the great followers of the great leaders, you know, and lead this change. It's the leader who is the follower, or the follower who is the leader at the same moment.
Yeah, I think that that makes great sense, right? Because you can follow what's going on in the world and be the leader inside. It's probably not feasible for CFOs to be the leaders of what's happening in the world, right? So I think that makes a lot of good sense. So just maybe a final question here, Nikita. What advice would you give to people that aspire to become CFO one day? What are some of the things that they should do to land that job, or maybe just land the next job up the ranks if that's what they're going for?
Yeah, I will share this advice through my own lens. In finance, we're a lot obsessed by tools, processes, and rules. I think, and I really believe, we should not be obsessed by that. We should make sure to build it as our core set of capabilities, and I would say our fundamentals. We need to be open-minded. We need to be able to step out of the box, and we should be focused on business partnering and driving the organization forward. And doing this while seizing the future in parallel. To be proactive, to look forward, and to see how we change the organization, and not staying close and being obsessed to the tools, processes, and the rules.
I think that makes great sense, Nikita. So it's basically around building the box so it can run itself, so that it gives you time to really just move outside the box, or build on top of that box something new that can really drive the value creation within the company. So because we often hear the analogy of saying you need to step outside the box, but what does it really mean? Does it mean you leave the box behind in some way? But of course the box still needs to work, right? So if the controller compliance doesn't work in the finance function, then we have other issues. So we need to build a box that works so we can build on top of that box. But I think
absolutely. You set it as the engine of your machine, but then you take the wheel and you drive it.
Exactly. So build the engine of your machine and then take the wheel and drive it, I think is the final remarks here from Nikita. Nikita, it's been great having you here, you sharing some of your experiences and thoughts and what you see out there in the world of finance and accounting. And I'm sure our listeners will appreciate your perspectives on this. So thanks a lot for being here today.
Thanks a lot, Anders. Thank you, and wish you a great day ahead.
You've been listening to Hashtag Finance Master, a weekly show recorded live on LinkedIn Audio. Don't forget to subscribe to stay updated on the latest trends in finance and accounting. And why not join Anders every Thursday on LinkedIn to share your own views and appear in the next episode?